Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, is now available. And now, The Orphans Facility, an exciting new prequel series. Catch up with Season 1 with new episodes of Facility coming bi-weekly.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And, of course, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Tony.
I'm Boar.
I'm Brandon.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about a lot of movies and television, folks, because unlike normal summers, this summer, in spite of all the horrible things happening in reality, in spite of our impending global catastrophe, just a fart away from crashing down on all of us, we're making some really good pop culture all of a sudden, and the summer movies, they don't suck.
So whoa, I didn't hear about this fart crisis.
I mean, it's ongoing. We just, you know, in Buddhism, there's the idea of being
Buddhism.
A witness, witnessing things is just as they're happening, and we have to accept that, you know, each one of us, we want the world to be a better place, but the human race, we could be completely destroyed. But right now, we're making some incredible pop culture, so at the very
well,
least,
that's why movies are so popular.
We can enjoy
it, yeah.
But they're not just popular; they're good. They're really good.
Well,
right now,
not
and
all
usually,
the movies.
Not all the movies. Not all the movies.
You seen Transformers? I haven't.
I haven't either.
Neither has anybody else.
Maybe The Last Knight's amazing.
Maybe the last. No, well, the last. According to all sources, The Last Knight is what's killing the Transformers franchise. So what's, it really is.
Is
the
that
last
the
night.
Is that the name of the Transformers movie? I don't know anything.
You
about
haven't
it.
Seen the
it
trailer is. With like they have like. Swords?
Why would I watch a Transformers trailer
with Sir Anthony Hopkins?
Because of Sir
about
Anthony
how,
Hopkins.
Oh, the secret of the Transformers is they've been with us all along.
And they have like swords and knights.
I mean, I guess they could pay anybody to talk about Transformers.
I mean,
in
he
trailer.
Was back there with King Arthur. He was Excalibur.
Oh, that's God. True. That's in the movie.
It is
really
100%.
I mean, maybe not 100%. I don't know if I can confirm that, but...
How
but
are the dinosaurs in the movie?
Basically.
I'm pretty sure I saw dinosaurs also
well,
in the movie.
Well, the Dinobots.
That was in the...
No, I think they're in the new one,
fourth,
too.
Fifth?
They might be dragons one. This time.
Who? Oh, dragon
God
bots.
Only knows.
We don't
God
know. I mean, knows. Honestly, we don't
how,
know.
How did the Allspark bring machines to life when there were no machines?
The machines came from space.
Oh, of course.
In the future,
know,
past.
Because they're aliens.
Time
apparently,
travel.
And apparently, Earth is Omicron.
Is it really?
I don't know what that means.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why doesn't he just wake up and kill everyone?
That's kind of the point of the movie.
Good. Done.
All right. Here's what that means. That means that Earth is a big ass planetary transformer.
Oh.
Voiced by what?
So
Orson
it's kind of like it's kind of like in
back.
World of Warcraft how we learned that Azeroth is actually a Titan.
Yep. That's exactly like
okay.
that.
100%. Optimus Azeroth.
This is already such a good episode.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling so jazzed.
I'm not feeling
no,
it.
No, he got torn in half in the first Transformers movie.
Oh. Shut up. You ruined it.
Well, now I'm depressed.
Hashtag better without Tony. Ta-da-da-da-da.
Cha-cha. Well, what's everybody been up to? Let's start with Tone Zone.
Tone Zone has been up to a lot. Like every time I show up, I work constantly.
That sounds super fun.
That's not.
Tell
I
me
heard
more.
You don't work at all. What are you talking about?
You
you're
have
never
heard,
at work.
You have heard wrong.
You're always
sir.
At home pretending you're working.
Man, if that were the case. But no, we've been making a lot of strides on Lightning Dogs, which has been exciting
that's
recently.
That's true.
Very long strides where you know we're keeping good pace with the rest of the pack.
Oh yeah, we should probably mention that. I don't know if we mentioned on Nerdy Show, but we're going to be at Megaplex in Orlando, August 4th, 5th, and 6th. And we're going to have a panel called Don't Let Your Dreams Be Dreams on
just do it!
August 5th at 4 p.m., where we'll be talking about, you know, basically the whole core value of Nerdy Show, which is if you have a crazy idea, blow it drastically out of proportion and make it real.
So I'm guessing that's a convention?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I've been arrested for
trying
to make
my
dreams.
It is not a place to watch megas.
Based on the context of panel, I guessed, but I've never heard of that particular one.
When you have a name like Megaplex, what
that
else
sounds
is it
like
be?
A theater.
That's like a Googleplex.
It could be. No, and I mean, all
it sounded to
is...
me like you were going to a movie theater and just setting up a little panel.
Well,
have a fair
if,
point.
If you have, if all it needs is the word Regal in front of it and becomes the Regal Megaplex.
Yeah.
You have a very good point. My apologies.
Guys, I wasn't paying attention. What's a Megaplex?
Well, if you must know, Brandon, it is a furry convention.
Okay.
Where we will be taking
what
lightning
have you been
dogs
up to, Tony?
To the logical conclusion.
Wait, do you have any outfits?
That is not a requirement of being a anthropomorphic animal enthusiast, Brandon.
I thought it was to go to a furry convention.
No, that's just the popular culture stereotype, though there will be certainly a lot of it.
I'm pretty sure
dance
I
contests.
Saw a documentary. I don't know if it's a stereotype.
No, they just used all of the people in furry furry costumes for that documentary.
But they're the interesting ones.
They were in that case.
Well,
but...
when you parade, like, look how different this is, you know.
Well, if you had someone make you all lighting dogs outfits, would you fully, like, dress up? How could you not?
I mean,
they were your characters.
I mean, you're right. How could we not? Though it feels like maybe that would be counterproductive to us being able to adequately sell the concept when everything's kind of muffled, like, you know. So
you
get a built-in. They have large snouts. Put a megaphone.
We'll just put one of those things in it, like a Mandalorian or Stormtrooper armor. You know.
Yeah.
All right. So Lightning Dogs is an in-development animated series.
You would sound like that, but yeah, sure.
Well, it part of the voice modulation makes you sound like a New Yorker.
You would also need a hatch, possibly in the front and the back, to open up to pee and poop or to have sex.
So the other things that I've been doing,
the yiffing hatch,
yiff,
the yiff hatch. Yes, I have been preparing myself.
I'm rolling my eyes. Just want to put that out there,
guys. I used to have sex with a giant white stuffed tiger, so I'm no stranger to this. Anyway, moving on.
Well, that's plushophilia, and that's different.
Yeah, I mean,
now
how's Kimba doing these days?
I skinned him. But we don't talk about that anymore. He was on a prostitute blow-up doll.
Also, his name was Shiro.
Yeah, because he was white.
Of course he was.
I'm so confused right now.
I guess Shiro was a guy, because I keep saying a he. So, wow, news to me, guys.
I kind of want to ask for clarification, but I really don't.
Anyway, Tony, go on.
I have been just kind of going around. I've been replaying some old games, been replaying through Uncharted 4, because god damn it, I love that game, and I miss things. Have been finally. I am one episode away from finishing Dirk Gently after a six month.
I need to pick that up again. It's really.
It's going to be coming back for season two any minute now.
If they ever release it in America, yeah.
Well, nah. I mean, this fall, right? You know, that's only a couple months away.
Well, season one hasn't still been released in America.
What? No.
Yes, it was on
BBC America.
Was it?
Yes.
I don't have cable. I tried to find out. It's on Netflix, but only in the European version.
Yeah, it's on Netflix in Europe, but it was on BBC America, which, as it turns out, airs in America.
Why can't they put it on American Netflix?
I don't know.
Broadcasting rights?
Yeah, it's specifically because it was like some sort of a joint effort between BBC America and Netflix. Like, they co-funded it. So I think it's just a licensing thing between the two.
And IDW Comics, interestingly enough, they were a very important cog in the machine of working out this television deal, it turns out. I didn't realize that. I just thought they were putting out the comics. But turns out they were in league with the Douglas Adams estate and made all this possible.
Yeah, but they always do such weird stuff with television programs. Like, Hulu can only have like new episodes for like the first like week or two, and then they like start fading away, and just stupid crap like that. And Netflix can't have anything until the season's completely over and new one's almost starting.
And folks, that is why I shell out cash for a DVR.
Yeah. I just tried to watch like a series and it had everything but the first episode, and I was like, what the hell? That was really annoying. I think
luckily
it was on Hulu.
The pilot generally is the weakest episode of any particular season. But aside from that, I've also been getting back into reading Isaac Asimov. I've been on a sci-fi kick.
Whoa.
And wanting to get back into iRobot.
Flashback to grade school for me.
They're such good books.
Where they made you read Isaac Asimov in grade school.
No, I just like to read those.
Mm. Same, because I was one of
that's why
back to the womb for me.
That's why we do Nerdy Show Book Club when we do it, because Brandon, recreational reading is a foreign language.
Guys,
to him.
Who's Isaac Asimov?
Isaac Asimov was a science fiction author who pioneered a lot of the things about robotics.
Did he make the three laws of robotics?
He did, actually.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Which is why
I saw the movie. I'm iRobot with Bruce Willis. Wait. Will Smith. I get them confused.
But entertainingly enough, that was not the first appearance of the three laws of robotics in a modern film. The first one that I can recall, at least, was Bicentennial Man, starring Robin Williams.
Which gets a lot of flack, but I like that movie.
It's not bad. It just wasn't... I think that was a marketing problem, because it's billed as like, hey, it's Robin Williams being a wacky robot. Oh no, this is a film about the eventual death of everybody you know and love, and how it is more human to die than it is to live
Why
forever.
Why am I crying? Why is my existential crisis getting worse?
I mean, it's no one-hour photo, but no. It's a good serious Robin Williams
believe,
film.
I believe that there's also a really old Outer Limits episode where they have a robot that has something to do with the three laws of robotics, and it's like being held on trial and stuff.
Brandon, that is a perfect, yes, exactly that, because Asimov's work was adapted into many different versions of the early television science fiction serials. And in fact, eventually, it was iRobot was adapted by Harlan Ellison to a film that didn't get made in the 1970s. It was deemed too lofty, too big, too extreme, but he worked with Asimov to...
put it together.
And in fact, you can I don't know if it's still in publication, but in the early 90s they made an illustrated manuscript of Ellison's treatment. I only recently saw it. The illustrations are incredible, and I hope to read it someday.
I feel like Done. I almost had that book.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you know?
Not really, because
you
I got
almost
it from,
had it.
Well, here's the thing. I got it. This was before the kind of prevalence of the internet to know exactly what I had found, and it was just something that said iRobot on it that had pretty pictures that I bought at a book fair when I was living in the boondocks in Virginia.
Where's that book now?
I have no earthly idea. But terrible. Just based on that very general description, shut up, you. Based on that very general description, it sounds like it could have been.
It sounds, else could it have been?
Especially since all of the stuff did kind of stitch together in what could roughly be described as a movie type. Yeah, I'm learning things about my childhood that I didn't before. This is
now,
a weird
is that,
awakening.
That book that you described, is that a book that contributed to you getting a free personal pan pizza from Book It?
It did not,
unfortunately.
Okay. It was not a thing. There was no free personal pan pizza. The only personal pan pizzas that I ever did was to get those X-Men comics.
That's why I think I read some of those Norby books that Isaac Asimov wrote back in the day is because of Book It. To get free pizza.
How did you guys have so much free time back in the day for reading books?
I was a child.
Yeah, that would be what it's called. It's called having no job, no responsibilities.
Shouldn't you be like running around and like... shoving knives into electrical sockets and playing video games and lighting things on
Sometimes
fire.
Sometimes it was raining.
And I had parents who were like, you've played enough video games. Read a fucking book.
I
grew
house.
Up in the north. It was cold a lot of the time.
You sneak out of the back door. They don't know you're gone until they send the cops at you at 2 a.m. and wonder why you're in the bushes with a group of ducks and a group of cats that are trying to fight each other. And you're trying to separate them because they're having a fucking gang war. But that's not important.
Listen, your time with the Quack Pack and the Pussy Patrol needs to be left in the past.
Do we have a show called the Quack Pack?
I regret to inform you that we did, and it was the duck answer to Goof Troop. It lasted a single season, and it was about Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And Daisy,
oh, it actually was a show.
Daisy got a great 90s mom redesign. Primo stuff.
So that's what Tony's been doing.
That's what Tony's been up to, yes. Rediscovering things about my childhood, enjoying the fuck out of iRobot, and shooting a lot of
hoops.
People.
Oh. Shooting a lot of hoops.
No, I don't. Despite the lankiness of my body. I know. I am built for so many sports I don't
play.
You
could be the Larry Bird of Nerdy Show.
Larry Nerdy Show?
I feel like you'd be really good. You'd be really good at nerdy curling. Bird. I think you'd be good at curling.
I've been giving a lot of irons to do just that.
Boar.
Hi.
What's
Hi,
new?
Boar.
Oh, man, so much stuff is new. I think last time I mentioned that I was looking for a new house, and I found one.
Hooray!
And,
is it one
I,
that
I
you
got,
can actually buy, or did you just find one on the side of the street?
I got an offer accepted.
Oh, wow.
So, barring any really bad things in the next month or so, I should be a homeowner next month. And another thing that I've been doing is I've been watching The Amazing World of Gumball. I just started watching that. And per your recommendation, Star versus the Forces of Evil, I started that.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, when I've been watching it, I started watching kind of both of them around the same time. And Hulu, when I start watching one of them, it alternates episodes back and forth for some reason.
That is so the weirdest fucking continuity.
It'll play me an episode of Gumball, and then it'll be like... it'll throw in an episode of Star, and then it'll go back to Gumball, and then back to Star, and I'm like, I have no idea why it's doing this, but I kind of like the variety.
How's the remix treating you?
All right. I I'm not quite as big of a fan of Star yet, but you said it gets darker later. So
season
I'm kind of hanging on for that. And I don't mind it right now, but it's all right. It's not it grabbing me as fast as Gravity Falls did, because I loved Gravity Falls like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But Gumball I really like. Have you watched that at all?
Not watching Gumball is probably my biggest television regret at the moment, because I didn't start when it started, and now it's quite big and is ending. So I'm going to get on that, because everything I've seen of it is brilliant. The animation
style is like just crazy.
Or like styles.
Yeah, there's so many just mashed into like one show.
The production on it is, I mean, it is insane. That show, it looks so expensive.
Yeah, it does.
And it's got such this weird like meta thing going on. Like in a later season, there was unauthorized...
No, you're going to spoil stuff for me, but
no,
go ahead.
Not really. There's an unauthorized... Because I saw this on Reddit. There's an unauthorized reproduction that was made in like Korea.
Okay.
Where they wholesale ripped it off and did a Korean version, which they then brought into the main Gumball universe. There is also an episode that features like a straight up Dragon Ball Z. They got in like proper anime directors and animators to do a segment and episode. They've also got this weird, like, they have to hack into something at one point, and they do a true hacking breakdown as to what the little sister had to do to break into this computer system.
One of the reasons I started to want to watch it is because there's an upcoming puppet episode where they're doing most of it with puppets.
Yeah.
And the creators of Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared are
working on it. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
And I was like, I have to watch this.
That's really bold of you to be like, all right, I'm going to watch the whole show.
I'm
going to
watch
now,
a whole show just for one
for
episode.
But worth it, because, I mean, I was already really endeared to everything I'd seen and heard about the show, and then that happened.
No,
and I was
it's a really funny show. It's like really lighthearted, and it doesn't have like a really strong story. It's pretty episodic, but it's just overall pretty good.
Like regular show?
Yeah, but it's not as crazy as that, I guess.
Cool.
I've never seen Gumball. Is it that show that looks kind of like 70s animation, and they're all into like food and cooking?
What?
No,
I don't know what you just described.
Oh, that's Chowder. Never mind. They look the same to me.
I mean, yeah, Gumball doesn't look like anything else. It's like got photorealistic backgrounds and these animated characters that are all different styles of animation.
Yeah,
and
like some of them are like claymation almost, and some of them are CG, and like most of the main characters are just normal cartoons.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I think the history of it is that they took the characters from a lot of like canceled Cartoon Network pilots and rolled them all into
like,
one show.
Just like, you know what, keep the same animation styles that were used. That's actually really cool.
Maybe I'll watch it
someday.
It's extremely meta.
And in Star News, I haven't seen it yet, but Tony just informed me that there was a 2-hour special that happened this past weekend. So
entitled The Battle for Muni. It's the first episode of the third season that kind of gets into...
Yeah, the premiere just came out. So
yeah, yesterday.
I need to watch it. The Battle for Muni, I think, is 8 parts.
Well,
from what
that makes sense because
the entire season.
Well, no, it is 8 parts, but remember, they do 15-minute episodes.
Oh, well.
So it's four segments. It's 4 half-hour episodes with 2 segments apiece. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's the entire Battle for Muni. It is not the entire third season. It's just the first 4 episodes.
Oh, nice.
They recently did the same thing with Clarence. There was basically a Clarence film, but it was 6 or 8 episodes. I forget. And it was amazing, by the way. Mm. This is Clarence's final season. If you haven't checked out Clarence, it's one of my favorite shows, of all time. Maybe. It's really good.
I tried to watch Clarence. It didn't grab me either.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I really loved the pilot that you showed me a couple.
Well, the pilot
years
back.
And I loved that, and the show just didn't have the same punch for me. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it again later.
It's got different vibes. Like, some episodes are really different from the other ones, and the slower ones mean more when you've had more time to live with the characters.
Yeah.
There's no Mystery Pinata moments. So,
I mean, there are, just not guaranteed every episode.
Mystery.
How about you, Brandon?
What have I been doing? I just drank like 2.5 pounds of a smoothie that I shouldn't have, so I feel like I'm gonna have diarrhea any minute. But, I mean, I feel it. So
it's coming for you.
I'm glad that this chair is a dark color, but. Other than that, this week I wrote a JavaScript program so that stupid spammer bots can't read your email data from like your source code. That's what I've been doing. That's cool.
That's so helpful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Now, how does coffee help again?
Doesn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Then why is it Java?
Anyway, it's JavaScript. It's different than Java, okay?
So is the coffee writing this?
Grandpa Jokes brought to you by Tony Baldini. Anyway. What is this? 1997.
I just picked this up. This is fantastic. When does a joke become a dad joke? When the punchline becomes apparent.
Oh, geez. So the other thing I've been doing. Ugh.
It's so good.
That is like the king dad joke.
I feel like a bunch of little animals are trying to burrow their way.
There's a wrench on the table that's just perfect for pulling my teeth out. And I might take that up as a hobby in a minute.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
But a remake, because that's what is big right now, Final Fantasy XII just came out, and it's a remastered version. Final Fantasy XII from PS2.
And nobody likes that game. It's just an MMO without other people.
Yeah, it's an amazing game. It came out for PS2. They just remastered it for PS4 and PS4 Pro, and it's based on the Japanese version that was never released anywhere, which means that...
Aside from Japan.
Yeah, besides from Japan, which I know you guys... I don't know if any of you have played Final Fantasy XII.
I have. Yeah. I'd actually be interested in taking another crack at it, because at some point, probably about
now is the time.
A fourth or a third of the way through the game, I got stuck and didn't have a good save point to go back for, because I couldn't beat the boss and there was no enemies to grind on.
Yeah.
And I got totally screwed, and I was like, screw this game, I'm not going to play it anymore.
I did that with Xenosaga years and years ago.
Get me started on Xenosaga.
I will
either.
Play anything that this team makes. It's the same director, I think, or writer who did the designers and stylists for Final Fantasy Tactics and Vagrant Story, which are some of the best things ever.
Vagrant Story is amazing and so hard. I've never come close to beating it.
The director is, I have his name right here, Hiroshi Minagawa, and he made, I believe, yeah, he made Tactics and Vagrant Story, and I always love their writing.
And they're all in the same world, right? Like,
yeah, it's in
Tactics and Vagrant Story.
Ivalice or Ivalice, I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah. But it's basically, I love their designs and their music. It's definitely like very distinct in all of their games. So they remade Final Fantasy XII with high def graphics, and they actually orchestrated the entire soundtrack. It was a little bit orchestrated before, but they reorchestrated it, and you can switch between both versions during the game. There's a huge difference in sound quality. Huh. It's just a lot more lively. There's more instruments, and it's just like a lot more epic. They also brought the job class system from the Japanese version that was never in the international version. So when you pick what job class your character is going to be, like, that's it for the whole game. So you make all your main characters white mages. They're white mages for the entire game. Sorry.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, you can't beat anybody, but nobody can kill you.
But the best part...
The 8-bit theater special.
Yeah, but the best part of the game is that they also made a fast-forward button. I've played the game so many times, it's like, you just press this button and it'll quadruple the speed. So you could just like grind or fight that secret like 25-hour boss. I think it was 60 hours actually, and reduce it to like 15 hours.
Oh, yeah, so I was going to really say cool. Xenosaga should have had that feature, and then you could have got through the intro in only like 3 or 4 hours.
As opposed to the 7 that it took to finish the opening cinematic.
There's new features, new modes, all that. I won't get too depth into it, but that's just what I've been doing for the past day, and that's it.
Cool. So. Well, Splatoon 2 is coming out very soon. They recently had their first Splatfest, and it was you basically download a... little demo thing, and then you can play the game. None of your stats carry over, but Splatfest is an event from the original game where you choose a side. You choose between two arbitrary things, like dogs and cats, and then compete to gain points and all that,
and
raise your level.
Prove that your side is the better side.
Yeah, in addition to, you know, having sort of a big event that everyone in the Splatoon community comes together and wages war over.
Mm-hmm.
And because Splatoon... This is... I mean, are you a listener out there? Have you heard of Splatoon? Should I explain what Splatoon is? It's a relatively new property from Nintendo where you play a squid child who
you're a kid.
You shoot
you're
ink,
a squid.
And you turn into a squid. You can swim through the ink, and it's great. It's like, it's the best multiplayer on a Nintendo system since GoldenEye. Boom. So, Splatoon 2 is for the Switch, and it's basically more of the same. It looks like it's going to have cool, like, deeper gameplay in really small, nuanced ways while remaining balanced, because they want Splatoon to be a competitive gaming, like, thing for, you know, gaming tournaments, mm-hmm. as it should be. And the Splatfest was great. It was ice cream versus cake. I'm all about that cake, and unfortunately, we did not win.
No, because ice cream's better.
Fuck you.
I'm gonna agree
You're a piece of shit.
I'm gonna agree with Tony and also be a piece of shit.
You're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. Brandon, where do you stand?
Have you guys ever searched for Splatfest, not safe for work?
Oh, God damn it.
Or going to any porn site and type Splatfest? Yes, sometimes you do find Splatoon-related stuff.
Is that a sausage?
Of Splatoon
I prefer
pornography.
Sausage or marshmallow. They're both good together. So I don't really know which one to choose.
That was the cookout theme for Splatfest. They changed the mascots for Splatoon this time around. It was previously Callie and Mari, two squid mm-hmm. girls who are like idols and also newscasters, and now they're Pearl and Marina. And Marina looks like an octoling, which is the villain race mm-hmm. type from the previous game. I don't know what's happened in that world that's changed that up, but she's got a cool design. And then also and Pearl is an inkling, and she looks like Yolandi from D'Antwoord, but
Yolandi.
A squid girl.
Yolandi motherfucker.
And she acts like her too, kind of, and they're both pretty dope.
They have taken the internet by storm. I've seen a lot of fan art of these two coming along. What was it? Melandi? You said was...
Yolandi from D'Antwoord, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. What
Pearl.
Was it? No, not Pearl, but the octoling.
Oh, Marina.
Marina. Marina, people just love... They love the fact that it's a... And this is more just because I see a lot of the shit on Tumblr. They love the fact that it's a squid of color... That it's, you know, she's got this really hip
aren't they
kind of
all
design.
A squid of color?
Yeah, don't they all have different colors?
This one has
this is green and this
no, her this has brown skin.
Her skin tone and not her.
Wait, are they all white tone. When they're not squids?
Yes.
Oh, weird. Well, that's racist.
No, you can choose any skin tone you want on your inkling.
Oh, okay.
But this one is now a branded person of color, if people like that. And just she's got a really cool design. Pearl, people have been drawing as Darla Dimple from Cats Don't Dance.
What?
I don't know what either of those are,
that's
but I'll nod my head.
Strange.
I have seen too many, and it's a weirdly good fit because she's a short little inkling. And entertainment. I laugh. I laughed a lot.
One of the things about Splatoon is that there's like it's really deep into like modern graffiti culture in a lot of ways, and mm-hmm. then you can draw your own pictures in the game, and
so I can use my Latin Kings tag online too now.
Yes, you can.
Sweet,
though it may be it may be censored. I don't know if they're aware of real world game.
You don't
colors,
censor the
but,
Latin Kings.
but when Splatfest happened, it really gets involved, and there's just been some absolutely like mind blowing, incredible art that was coming out of it, including my favorite, and unfortunately for not for my team, but there was an ice cream of the crop. little piece of graffiti that was like, as in Macho Man Randy Savage's cream of the crop famous monologue,
oh,
where
God.
Someone dared him, I bet you can't do a monologue about anything. and he had to work coffee creamers from the craft service table into his like WrestleMania challenge video. And it was, if you haven't seen it,
YouTube that shit, watch it.
It's fucking hilarious. That man,
God rest his soul,
was a jokester. he's pulling fucking coffee creamers out of nowhere. Like, it's amazing. And then also, I finished the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I had sort of an interruption in my schedule. I got too busy, and I didn't finish it. This last season was incredible, and it was kind of like three seasons at once. It started with Ghost Rider, mm-hmm. and that was great. And there was this sort of in-between season called LMD, as in Life Model Decoy, as in like androids that look like people. And that was just sort of a glue season to bridge the two parts, because the actual second season was Agents of Hydra, where the characters get stuck in this massive simulation of a world where Hydra actually like used tragedy, an American tragedy, to take over America, and the Age of Heroes never began. And it's incredible. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound a lot like the current event in Marvel Comics right now?
Oh, I thought you meant in our world.
Secret Empire? Well, that's true.
Even in reality.
I mean...
A little bit.
Yes, it's all true. It's like reality and Secret Empire in comics. Well, guess what? See, we've talked about Secret Empire. That's where Captain America is a Hydra agent. Like, that's come mm-hmm. up before in conversation here on the show. This S.H.I.E.L.D. season is better than what's happening in the comics right now. Like, by a lot. And has some very pointed commentary, very specific commentary on the state of affairs in this world, in this country.
And so it's good pop culture entertainment is what you're telling me.
It is. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has hit its stride officially. This season was great.
I hear that House of Cards also is not relevant right now because our reality has surpassed it. So
yeah, it's kind of like
it's weirder.
Like,
if you watch the show, you're like, I've seen worse now.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Onion, where The Onion has been struggling just because
it's like half the stories they report is like No, we've worse no, shit's happening.
Our headline, the son of our president just tweeted out his emails with Russian lawyers. No big deal. So
yeah, exactly.
How?
So anyway,
so you need a sci-fi
you can't
show.
Shoot me, I'll shoot me.
You need a sci-fi show to actually give you something that's like, I guess, to surpass House of Cards, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway, House of Hydras.
That took us a long time to get through all the stuff we've been doing. I guess we've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool.
How about that?
So let's talk about, since we're talking about Marvel, let's talk about Spider-Man Homecoming then.
Oh my God. It's all right. I love that movie.
It's okay. I think the third Spider-Man was better. The one with Venom. That dance scene? Man, I was like,
fuck,
he made his hair all emo and he starts dancing. I'm like, I hated Spider-Man, but this scene fucking sealed it for me. I only want this Spider-Man from now on. And then they bring back this shit. They try to make a good movie.
Cap, we need to fire. We need to fire Brandon. We need to fire Brandon. That's it.
How dare they make a good Spider-Man movie? Has it ever happened?
It has, but not to this level. This is the quintessential Peter Parker. It's great that they went back to his actual first villain, and Michael Keaton,
the Shocker.
The vulture.
Oh,
dude.
Sorry.
You know, the bird guy with the wings.
Two in the
and
pink,
the Michael Keaton.
One in the stink.
You know, against all odds, this is the best Spider movie there's ever been. I was, you know, skeptical. I thought, oh, it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a samey quality to Marvel films when left unchecked. And this was, I mean, this movie was incredible. It didn't have any, like, global catastrophe. It was just
you didn't have to watch his uncle or whatever die again. I've seen that a million times.
Yeah, you know, when you didn't see them go see Zorro and the pearls fall in slow motion, there was none of that.
Yeah.
It was...
Boy, you're the only one who hasn't seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, so...
Well, there's a kid who gets bit by a radioactive spider,
and then he swings
to New York.
See, that's the thing, is I don't really have questions because I've seen so many Spider-Man movies that...
Do you want to know why it's called Homecoming?
Is it good? Yes, I'm sold. Okay, I'll go watch it.
It's extremely good.
And it's... It is. Even
so does he shoot webs?
He does, as it turns out.
Actually, the twist is there's no webs in the movie at all.
Did they go really?
It's all talking points, yeah.
Did they go biological or...
No, he's got web
canisters.
Okay.
Canisters.
Okay.
And he switches them out during the course of the movie.
Okay.
Like, they tie that in. It's great.
This is such an authentic Peter Parker. Like, he's smart.
He's Peter Parker.
He struggles. Like, you know, he's not popular, you know.
And this is something that I actually read in a Cracked article of all places. One of the reasons that this particular Spider-Man movie works so well, that even, I mean, the Amazing Spider-Man films with Andrew Garfield and even to an extent the Sam Raimi's trilogy didn't really hit. When you're watching a Spider-Man movie, you have to not want to be Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be Peter Parker.
But you don't.
He's
because,
fit, yo.
Yeah, he's fit, but he is an absolute loser. He is bullied. His life sucks.
Do you think his semen like shoots out like webs too?
Oh God.
Sorry.
That's Wanker Man. That's a different
it
a different
really
hero.
Is. It's a different hero entirely. But you get why he would want to escape into being Spider-Man. And he loves being Spider-Man. They nail that. They nail the feeling that Peter Parker's life is terrible. Spider-Man's life is also terrible, but he's a superhero, so it's okay. And he is always...
I just like how dorky this
always in
is.
Over his head.
Oh, yeah. He's a big
like
dork. How,
he's like really nice and super polite, but like just really dorky.
Yeah.
And this movie validates the cinematic universe like never before. This movie is kind of at the same level as the Netflix shows in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because it's street level.
It's in that world... It's connected, like, intrinsically to, you know, like, all the scenes with Tony Stark and that mm-hmm. relationship and the world that he lives in is so affected by the things we've seen happen in other films, but it lives in its own space, all the problems are grounded and personal and don't get caught up in just a bunch of dumb explosions.
And it's entertaining that they acknowledge the fact that they've got a really young Aunt May. Like, constantly.
Well, sure.
Marissa Tomei.
Yep. Marissa Tawant May.
But Michael Keaton was... I'm glad to see his return to being a badass, because I like him in most of his movies.
Well,
especially Multiplicity. Don't even get me started how good that movie is.
Went from Bird...
She touched my peppy, Steve.
And the Snowman one, right?
Yeah, Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Not the one where he's a snowman that murders people.
Yeah. Multiplicity was a great one because he has that scene where he's like, you want to see crazy? I'll get crazy. It's a great scene. I think it's one of the lesser clones that is mentally unstable.
Three guys and a guy pizza delivery.
But, yeah, no, Michael Keaton did a fantastic job.
Yeah, he went from Birdman to Mechanical Birdman.
I think the movie fell a little short, kind of near the climax, and I won't go into that. But other than that, the movie, for the most part, was really good. They had a really good supporting cast. Mary Jane was fantastic.
MJ
was fantastic. Also, the news anchor team. I don't know where they found them, but brilliant.
Well, the entire film is full of
nods and winks.
Hannibal
Burrs.
Hannibal Burrs is the gym coach, but the one of the news anchors is
Betty Brant
from, like, she's a mainstay Spider-Man supporting character. Don Glover's character is
Miles Morales' uncle.
Is the ultimate universe's Prowler.
Mm-hmm.
That person who could at some point maybe become that character.
As they were looking up his rap sheet, he did have the alias as the Prowler in the movie.
I didn't even notice that. I also don't know who the Prowler is, so that's fine.
Well, he's somebody who goes outside of people's houses at night.
I mean, I do that. Am I a Prowler?
Yes.
All right.
That is the definition
I'm
of that
I'm the Prowler
word.
Too, guys. Woo.
If you have a nephew named Miles, he's in for a
rough
bit. I can
make one. How does one make a nephew?
You wait for a sister to help you out.
I've got ice packs and some biological material in my bathroom. I'll get to work.
I really don't want to explain it to him.
No, I'm just going to let that go.
Yeah.
I'm going to capture some birds, capture some bees. We're going to make this magic happen.
The well of Easter eggs in this film runs very deep.
Oh, yeah.
Including something that ties this film to Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't remember, but okay.
Huh?
Were there some nuclear vessels?
Well, there's in The Voyage Home, there's a punk who's listening to a radio in a scene, and they brought that actor, who was like a friend of some, like, one of the producers, into a scene in this film where he's listening to, like, a boombox with the same music and something about...
How did you notice that?
I didn't. I StarTrek.com posted an article.
That's insane.
And someone added it to the show notes, and I don't know who it was because you're all acting like you've never heard this before. I didn't put this in here. Who put this note in here?
I blame John West.
None
of us did.
It's probably John.
That's really cool. He's like, I'm not going to participate in the show, but I'll just keep adding data for them to talk about. Like, thank you.
This is the first time this happened. That's really weird. Yeah.
Someone's like secretly
I was the Prowler has snuck into our Slack channel.
I was talking and making eye contact with everybody, trying to be like, and who's going to pick this up? I didn't make specific notes on this. I'm just going from memory.
None of us. You got
it. And it kept not connecting. You're just like, come on.
I'm like, we don't know.
You're like Peter Parker when he's in the suburbs trying to shoot a web. There's just nothing to connect to.
Yeah, how peculiar. So, don't wait on Spider-Man Homecoming. It's fantastic. See it in the finest theater you can get your buns to.
And the name is pretty literal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his homecoming.
It's also because now Spider-Man has come into the MCU. He's come home.
No, I don't consider it that, no.
You cannot consider it. That's a fact, Brandon.
I mean, this could happen. I mean, he's probably going to be ruined because Sony still has their hands on it, and they're going to be like,
They
made so much money. Let's make another movie that's horrible now. Well, you already told me.
Well, Sony is actively attempting to make films that don't have Spider-Man in them that are not set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, such as Venom, Black Cat, and Silver Sable, of all things.
I know I want a Black Cat movie.
Though, apparently, there was a press conference.
Couldn't be any worse than Catwoman, right? You know, Halle Berry.
That's one of the best movies of all time.
Don't tempt the fates, Cap. But no, there was a press interview with the head of Sony's motion pictures and Kevin Feige, where she sat there and said that Venom and Black Cat were going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And you just watch Kevin Feige's face be like, what the fuck is this bitch saying?
Wow.
Yep. <Yeah. laughs>
So there's going to be a falling out soon, we predict, between Sony and Marvel.
Here's the thing, though, is that the lawyers will take care of this because... Now that Spider-Man is officially in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
does that mean the X-Men can be?
That's Fox. There's some protections that have to be in place for them to be able to protect their asset. Mm-hmm. So,
like good writers, they need those.
Well, Marvel will always, lean on that. But I mean, the worst that happens is we don't get another standalone film and Spider-Man exists in the background of his movies if some shit really starts.
Like the Hulk.
Yeah.
But then they've already said that obviously Spider-Man is going to show up in the Avengers films that are coming out, and Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man movie is going to, and it's been confirmed, Spider-Man 2 is coming, and that's going to kick off the next story arc for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Kick off, you say?
I thought it was already planned out. Oh, you mean after Thanos?
After Thanos.
Wait, I'm going to be like 80 by then.
No, you're going to be, it's 2 years from now, Brandon.
I'm going to be 80 by then.
How do you think
I have a young
works?
Voice for an old man? A lot how, like the how, birds and the bees.
That you,
he's, 70, he's 78 right now. What don't you understand about math?
A lot, apparently.
You know, by the way, that Halle Berry Catwoman movie is one of the best movies of all time. There's this great
shut
line.
Your whore
there's
mouth.
This great line in it where she's like, "You know what happens to a toad that's struck by lightning? The same thing as everything else." And you're like, "Brilliant! I love Catwoman." Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Is that before or after she takes out the evil cosmetics company bent on world domination?
Probably during it, same time.
All right, so we're going to take...
Bor, go watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
Thank you.
we're gonna take this moment to thank the awesome people who make this program and all the shows on the Nerdy Show Network possible. We are entirely listener-supported. You can find out more information at nerdyshow.com/support, where you will get links to our Patreon, where you can shop through us via Amazon, how you can give us a one-time donation, how you can rate and review us on iTunes and Podchaser. And, as such, let's talk about Patreon first and foremost, because that is the way, that is the portal by which people give us the most security. And if you love Nerdy Show, if you love this program and give to us on Patreon, then you are investing in our continued existence and prosperity. And as I mentioned in the last episode that we did in this style, we had some big summer fallout because summertime means all that money's, you know, getting put into the meat grinder and turned into air conditioning. That's how that metaphor works, right? That's the old the old wives' tale.
As it turns out, steaks are behind air conditioning.
My air conditioning is actually powered by a meat grinder.
Cool. And anyway, so we got some shout-outs to some awesome people who have joined up with us, who I assume heard my call last episode and said, you know what? I can give at least a dollar. That's only $12 a year. And I listen to your shows, and they're generally free. So I will, of my own free will, say, I will invest in this. This is a good idea. I don't want you guys to crash and burn.
Exactly what they said.
And just in that style as well. So thank you.
With that inflection, yeah.
Jason Ellis.
John Baer.
Charles Kubasek.
Mike Harville, thanks, buddy.
And Stephen Vowles.
Vowles?
He's got A, E, I, O, U, and even sometimes Y.
There's no A in there.
I'm sure he's never, ever heard that before.
It's okay. I get bald weenie all the time, thanks to my last name. It's all right.
Your weenie is bald?
As it turns out.
It doesn't have a little lion's mane like mine?
Why does yours have a lion's mane,
Why
Brandon?
Is yours a bald weenie?
Why does yours have a lion's mane?
Why does your? I thought that's normal.
No.
That's why mine's a lion. It goes, rawr.
It also shouldn't make noise, Brandon.
Oh. Potato, potato.
So if you shop via our links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon, anything you buy will give back to the Nerdy Show Network, whether you're shopping in the Canadian store, the United Kingdom store, or the United States store. Hey, whatever. And sometimes people write in and tell us the stuff they bought. In fact, Nathaniel Kraft, a.k.a. Crafty Bastard, did just that back in March, but I was traveling and I totally missed his email. Here's what he said. He said, I buy things from Amazon all the time, but I usually buy through Amazon Smile to support my local PTO organization. Well, I finally said, to hell with those guys. I've given them enough.
And that's right. Pick your charities wisely.
We are. I mean, we're charity of a kind. And started buying some items through your Amazon link. Recent purchases include 3 comic trades, Moon Knight, Old Man Logan, and Batman Volume 8. All great choices. A twin draft guard extreme to block the cold air from coming in under my back door, which is a euphemism.
I think he's actually talking about a door this time.
A couple of girls' winter coats, and I think 2 special cleaning items from my record collection. There might be some others I'm not accounting for. I kind of have an Amazon addiction. I'll continue to use your link going forward. Thank you so much, Nathaniel.
You crafty
Kraft.
Bastard. You
and
crafty,
I think the more you buy from Amazon, it also keeps me in business now, technically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you.
All of us, really. Yeah. We also have one from Garrier, I believe.
Hey, I have that one.
Hey!
They write, I hope you guys have been getting kickbacks from my cosplay supply runs to Amazon. I go through the link, but it would be nice if there was a way for Amazon to confirm. If you've been seeing orders ranging from makeup to fabric paint to magnets with random bursts of rub and buff. I don't know what that is, but...
Also a euphemism.
Sounds like lube.
That is definitely a euphemism. That's
lube, I think. Odd footwear and medical adhesives. I'm probably at least some of those.
I just can't imagine a bunch of people.
If I can support the network while working on my hobby. That's a weird way to end this, but thank you, Garrier.
Have you never heard his name? He's like all... Okay.
No, Gary
has been mentioned a million times
all day, every day.
That's Gary, not how this is spelled on my sheet.
It's Gary, Garrier, and Gary Est.
Garrier. Okay, sure. I don't English good.
I mean, it's not really English tech. I mean, well, anyway.
Now, if you support us on Patreon, that means at $10 or more, you're able to get a shout out once a month, whatever you want. And in Jeffrey McSorley's case, he decided we should set up a reoccurring one, and it's promotion for stuff that we also do. So let her rip, Tony.
Absolutely, in classic Carnival Barker style.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Do you have old shirts? Shirts that are nerdy but have holes in them, or are simply too stretched out from wearing them over and over for the last 1, 2, maybe even 5 years?
Hot dog, I sure do.
Well, boy, do I have a suggestion for you. Toss out your old crummy clothes and donate to a thrift store and replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts. Yes, you heard me right. You, too, can replace your faded Mario or Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show Network shows. Show support for Nerdy Show to your friends, or just get a Peekathor and astound all around you with its magnificent glory. And don't forget, they even come in kids' sizes. Yes, even the Friday Night Fanfiction ones. So go ahead, eliminate the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace your wardrobe with all the shirts that Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at http://nerdyshow.com/nerdyshow/period.
I don't think anyone's... go to nerdyshow.com/shirts for shirts, and go to nerdyshow.com/store to see the rest of our wares, including our Ghostbusters role-playing gear and the Lightning Dogs sketchbook, a 36-page collection of art from myself, Tony, Local Shop, and Maxicree, detailing all of our favorite concept art for our in-development animated series so far.
Yeah, it doesn't say any of that on my page.
I did like how you screwed up the URL like immediately.
What?
WHTT? Like, what? What?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Hey, these things happen sometimes. We're doing it live, man.
And finally, if you can't contribute to us financially, though, I'm sure you come on. I know you're shopping through Amazon. Go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon. You dingus. You can rate and review us on iTunes, which is the best way for people to, well, for strangers to discover us. You can tell your friends, of course. And then also, there's a new platform for podcast discovery called Podchaser, and it is in beta right now. We have keys, so you can get in on that beta, Nerdy and Nerdy Show, with a ton more information at nerdyshow.com/podchaser. And there, well, some kind folks have been leaving reviews. Though I gotta say, folks, we need more ratings and reviews. We were in the top 5 before, and we're in number 10 of the top podcasts there now. We gotta keep our lead. Come on, this is the future, and we want to be there in the future, right ahead of Planet Money and all those other NPR shows that it's like Serial and things that people on the street you could mention and know.
Like, wait, don't tell me.
Yeah, we want to be above those. Against all odds.
InfoWars.
So keep them coming, because we were there for... Shut up. We were there for a hot minute, so come on. We have a recent review for Brandon to read from...
Gopher God.
Wow.
G-A-W-D. It's like Gopher God.
Okay.
He writes... Oh, many lines. I'm in it for this one. You pick the person who doesn't like to read the most. Let's do it. A discussion of just about anything nerdy among a group of friends. Topics including, but not limited to, video games, movies, books, science, comics, and D&D. A variety of viewpoints with great chemistry between the hosts will have you laughing out loud in public, may have happened to me and resulted in some odd stares for the general public. This is my primary source of keeping up with all things nerdy. P.S., the show also supports a whole cavalcade of great podcasts, including Wicked Anime, Dungeons and Doritos, State of the Empire, and a special shout out to the audio dramas Liberty and the Orphans.
And bonus points for using cavalcade. Not enough people use that word. Good word.
Cavalcade.
Good word. It really is.
Is that a person who's on a horse with a spear?
Yes.
Got it.
That's a cavalry.
One's just smaller.
Yes,
the
but
cavalcade
when, clear,
is a smaller
when a cavalry
one.
Clears a barricade, it becomes a cavalcade.
Yeah, see? Thank you, Tony.
I got your back.
I don't think that's right, but I don't know enough about cavalcades to dispute it.
Hey, Boar.
Hi.
You're all about that Dark Matter show.
Yeah, I don't think I've brought that up, but the new season of Dark Matter has been amazing. And I know that you've watched it in the past, right, Brandon?
I have been watching it right now.
Oh, so you're getting caught up.
Yeah, I'm getting caught up.
How far have you gotten?
I'm a little upset. There's only going to be like 3 people left in the crew soon.
Well, don't spoil it. Whoa.
Spoilers. They'll just lose the numbers by the episode.
But
find them again. Math works that way, right?
I know I've talked about previous seasons like a long time ago, but Dark Matter is right now my favorite sci-fi show that's being released. So if you haven't ever checked it out, I highly recommend checking out Dark Matter. It airs on Sci-Fi, I believe, on Fridays. And it's just a fantastic sci-fi show. Just a rundown of the basic premise. It's a group of, we learn slightly later that they were criminals and they went into a deep freeze sleep.
They're not just criminals. They're like the galaxy's like
the
worst criminals. And they lost all their memories.
And they lost all of their memories and they're sort of like having a self-discovery. And there's a lot of like, are you the same person if you don't have all your memories? And there's a lot of really cool themes and things going on that aren't normal for a sci-fi show.
And they're not afraid to take risks. Risks that upset me, but still risks.
Yeah, and there's it's a lot of the same writers and some actors are crossovers from Stargate. So if you're,
or any show that's Canadian-based at all. You may see they only have 10 actors pretty much in all their sci-fi shows.
Yeah, but that one's really, really, really great. And one of the other things I wanted to bring up is there's another show that airs around the same time as Dark Matter called Killjoys. Mm-hmm. And they came out at the exact same time. And I started watching Killjoys when it first came out, and I kind of lost interest because I was so into Dark Matter, I just focused all my attention on that. But lately I've been like, I need more sci-fi in my life. I'm going to go back and watch all of Killjoys, and I have been thoroughly enjoying it. It's really close to being as good as Dark Matter. Like, it's a really cool show. It's about these, basically a group of bounty hunters in space. There's like 3 of them. They have like this AI-controlled ship that's amazing. And they go on all these crazy adventures. There's like a mega corporation that runs most of the solar system.
That sounds very similar to Dark. You're describing Dark Matter.
But there's not competing ones. There's like one conglomerate, okay. And then there's like a neutral police organization that they work for called the Killjoys. But they're more like bounty hunters than police. But they have like authority. If a Killjoy is in the area, they have a warrant that it supersedes anything that the corporation or anything else.
I get the name now. They're a bunch of buzzkills. They're having a party, and they're like, oh, the Killjoys are here.
Kind of, yeah. but it's a really, really great show. It picks up, like, when it gets to season 2, like, it's really, really amazing. So I highly recommend Killjoys and the new season of Dark Matter. Like, watch them both if you like sci-fi.
I will have to get into those, because that sounds, the Killjoys actually sounds kind of like a Canadian version of Outlaw Star.
I love Outlaw Star. I wasn't going to mention it.
A little bit-ish, yeah.
Well, you know, it's got a lot of that Canada in there. You substitute magic and whatnot for maple syrup, and you're off and running.
Wait, does Outlaw Star have... Oh, yeah.
It kind of reminds me...
I was like, there's no Canadians in
it. It kind of reminds me of Cowboy Bebop a little bit, too, because it's a 3-person crew. They're bounty hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned, though, an AI control chip.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Everyone seems to have an AI-controlled chip in a sci-fi show now.
Well, yeah, and it's really interesting, because the ship has a crush on one of the crew members, and, like, it...
I don't want to think about a ship crushing somebody.
Wait, which show are we talking about now? Dark Matter or Killjoys?
No, but okay. Every now and then they'll be like, hey, ship, do this or that, and it won't listen to some of the crew members as well as it listens to one of them. Like, it's really funny. I love the show quite a bit.
Awesome!
So, Killjoys and Dark Matter, if you haven't checked them out, check them out on Sci-Fi.
Cool. And Brandon and I just saw War for the Planet of the Apes.
Is that what it's
called?
That's
a movie.
I wrote down Planet Apes Guerrilla Warfare because I forgot the title immediately. I did this thing again where, like, I went into a movie that I didn't want to go see, so I just started writing notes in the dark. And instead of telling
Yeah,
I was gonna say, if you want for, because you haven't seen the
yes,
movie.
Yes, please, give me the notebook.
I don't know if they're legible this time.
Okay.
There's 2 pages.
What have we got?
Continue to talk about it. Okay. I'll peruse the notes.
Okay, let me start by saying, I think that the Apes trilogy so far is one of the most important modern film franchises. It has defied all logic in its successes, both financially and artistically. And I love them. These movies, they make me cry. They show me things I've never seen before.
Okay, James Franco still ruins the first one for me because he can't act.
But John Lithgow saves it.
He makes up for it.
Here's the problem. If you have a really good actor paired with a really terrible actor and then the same scene, it ruins the scene for me. You have John Lithgow like with this whole
Alzheimer's
thing. I might have that. And then you have James Franco trying to come to terms with this and he's like looking sad, but he's not crying. He's not anything. And he's just like, oh. And he's just like, you're a shitty actor and John Lithgow's great. Who put you two together? Don't be in any more movies. I hate this movie.
I'm just going to interject with a few notes that I've been reading here.
Please
do. It starts off with Rise, Dawn, War paragraphs.
You had to read in the beginning of the movie. It was weird.
Oh, okay. Apes helping kill apes? Black guy from Dark Matter.
Yes. The guy who played Six was in it.
That's pretty awesome. Not a fan of apes or humans. Only okay. some
Those are just
run
personal.
Speak.
Only some can speak. Yeah.
Oh,
just taking notes. Yeah.
It looks like run, but
I can't write well in
I'm
the
just,
dark.
Yeah, it's in the dark, so just, who knows?
It's that matter in the dark.
You know, I'm not going to correct him. You just read them.
Winter, gross apes everywhere.
Everywhere.
Won't they ironically evolve into humans?
I mean, I know apes didn't. Yeah, but anyway, I thought.
How do all apes see sign language? Incriminations. I don't know what that word is.
Conversations.
In conversations. Okay, that was okay. Continue talking about it. All I'll right, come
so,
back with some more notes.
So here's the first film. It was beholden to. I mean, it was a risk, right? They're like, all right, so prequels are popular. Let's what do we got? What's a franchise we got that we ain't doing anything with? Oh, Planet of the Apes. Okay, let's try that out. And they did. And against all odds, it was great. There's an old episode of Nerdy Show when that film came out, and we all saw it,
mm-hmm.
and our minds were blown. The episode's called "Shut Up and Take My Monkey," and it just
still a good title.
It was phenomenal. Like we were just all floored by it. As the emotion, the quality, none of us could have seen a prequel to Planet of the Apes being a good idea.
Oh my God, I was still in college.
Yeah, I was gonna say who. Like wanted this, like who woke up one day and said, you know what, I demand a reboot of the Planet of the Apes
Andy
movies.
Serkis.
Yeah, but like what demographic demanded
well,
no, it in
well
society?
Nobody, that's the thing. Yeah. It's why it's such a surprise. And so from there, like the creators went on to the next one and the next one, and it basically each film successively evolves. The more they pull away from humanity, the more the story itself becomes human, because the apes are a perfect mirror to ourselves and our own plights as, you know, sentient beings, and the struggles that they go through are so artfully done. You're seeing things in these movies, you're seeing warfare and loss and hardship in a way that you don't get to show this
in
major motion pictures with humans.
I never watched the second movie because, like I said, James Franco made me not give a shit. And then I saw this one because you're like, hey, come on, let's go see this one. So I skipped the second one. And this movie, I went into it thinking, oh, it's just going to be a bunch of CG apes like flying planes and shooting guns and doing stupid things with nets. I don't care. But it's actually pretty well thought out. And there are just most of the scene is not, the movie is not action at all. It's just really good, well thought out scenes.
And yet
like,
you had a lot of questions.
Oh, like, I always have
like,
questions.
Like, why Vin Diesel not cast?
He's the master of grunts.
How do you see the sign language when you're not looking?
Valid questions.
And why feel no shame when naked?
I mean, if they're so smart, they should know they're naked.
Yeah, they're so smart, they realize they don't mean shit.
Shame. They know shame, right? They should. They're not human unless they know shame.
They're not human. That's important.
No, they're not Christian unless they know shame. No,
they have all the realness of us without, I mean, while like, you know, learning things like betrayal and all that, like coming to terms with the raw nature of humanity. I'm sorry that I'm talking to these, but these movies are great. These are the fucking, I know this is gonna like be practically fucking disrespectful, but these are like the Kurosawa films of this moment in time.
I do want to say that this movie was really good though. It was good.
It's a vengeance quest. It's a prison break.
If you have to see one ape-based movie this year, probably this versus King Kong. Because I only thought I was going to see one and I was done for the decade, but apparently I had to see this one too. But I really enjoyed it, despite that apes are filthy and disgusting and they probably smell bad when they get wet and they should probably all be killed.
Yeah, and you made some notes about that. Soldier with bright light in cure.
Cave.
Sure.
Cure.
And you wrote down wet apes smell terrible. Giant gorilla on horse.
I mean, that was
human child should be packing heat in this world. Brain dead, angry military cliche. So emotional.
It's an inside joke.
Convenient tunnel is convenient. Escape from Monkey Island. Escape from Ape Catraz. Ape Poral Verse None? What is that? This is not even legible.
I don't know. I honestly don't remember.
Movie is greater than it has any right to be.
And that's the thing about these films.
And that's it. That's all from Brandon's notes.
So much greater. Like,
there wasn't that much bad crap in the movie to talk trash about. It was actually
I'm really glad that you take those notes, though, because I learned so much from them.
And I'm going to continue to do it when we talk about it on Nerdy Show.
Frankly, I love that Escape from Ape Catraz. That is fucking fantastic.
Seriously, though, these movies are so goddamn good, and they have no right to be. They have no right to be.
No, it should just be a crappy CG movie, and in 10 years, the CG probably won't hold up, even though it was really good.
But people don't get away with showing this level of, emotional complexity and artfulness in a major motion picture.
It's a very emotional, tragic, moving movie.
There is a clip going around right now, more popular because of the second thing. Andy Serkis was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert not too long ago.
And reading Donald Trump.
Quotes. He read Donald Trump quotes as Gollum, and it's fantastic. But the first half of the first half of that is them talking about the performance capture that went into the movie, and there was a proof of concept that they did where it's to show just how much of the performance is actually Andy Serkis, is actually the people in these movies.
Oh, to try to convince the Academy of Motion Pictures to give that man a goddamn award?
It's 100%. They acted the entire thing and then they put CG on top of him. And there's a lot of
There is, this clip is him giving a speech that is essentially, it's essentially the I didn't start this war, but I can finish it speech type thing. And it starts with Andy Serkis's face with the motion tracking dots on it, and it pans, and as it zooms in on him, they start to layer in the CG. And you see just how much of it was actually Andy. And it's because I had even started to get disillusioned with Andy Serkis, because it seemed like he was starting to it's more being loyal to the animators, that he almost seems to be trying to take things away from by saying, no, it wasn't them, it was me. But this reminded me that, no, the dude is a good actor. He might be a little pretentious every once in a while, but that was some fucking good shit.
That wasn't his voice, though, in the movie, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually his voice?
Yeah, he's a voice actor as well.
Nice. Well, I couldn't tell from Gollum.
Gollum. So, yes, if you haven't seen these movies, see these movies. Go see this film.
Yeah, it was actually a really good movie, and I hate monkeys ever. I grew up playing Star Fox, and if the crew of the Great Fox hates apes, they hate monkeys, they want to kill them all, and that is my perspective on things too, because they raised me. But it was a good, it was a decent movie.
You got Papa Peppy.
Yeah, I can't fault the movie. It was good. I mean, if they used a different animal, would I like it better? Yeah. I mean, if they're all like cool fox people, that'd be badass. But they'd be cooler. They wouldn't suck like apes. But yeah,
you wouldn't have war for the planet of the foxes. You would just have all of them work their way into sales positions.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
And take over Wall Street.
Yeah, they would. Thank you.
Now there may be a fourth movie. Actually, it's been confirmed. There's going to be one. Is it going to have the same team? I don't. That information is not out there. Is it going to be
Is it actually a remake of Planet of the Apes this time?
Because at this point, it's certainly. They could make that leap, or they could tell a new story about survival. But it might be time to loop it back around.
But they already did Planet of the Apes with Timothy Button, the director.
Yeah, Tim Button
did with Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. And
that was a classic, right?
Yeah,
it was a masterpiece.
Sure was.
I have a love hate relationship with that movie, because it's a bad film, but it's got really good art direction, set design.
Which movie are you guys talking about?
Planet of the Apes,
the remake, the Timothy Button's remake.
Planet of the Apes remake,
Tim Burton's
with Mark Wahlberg, Chris Christopherson.
It's not worth seeing at all.
It is.
You forgot there's, this happened.
There's one with Marky Mark in it?
Yeah.
There is, yeah.
Oh.
It was a late 90s, early 2000s Planet of the Apes remake of the first film.
Okay.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. At all. Though the art direction is primo.
And it's got some really good performances from like Michael Clark Duncan as a gorilla and Tim Roth as a chimpanzee.
Johnny Depp wasn't in it, was he?
He might have been under prosthetic somewhere. It's hard to say. It also had Helena Bonham Carter as herself.
Oh, it did, didn't it? Okay, yeah.
As herself, yeah.
That's fine.
As herself, the monkey.
Well, I couldn't really tell. She could have
shit, that was her. He can't make a movie without her in it now. God.
Well,
they were married.
He can now.
You don't put your fucking wife in your own movies?
He did for years. Well, now then they got divorced.
Well, now he should put her only in terrible roles.
He did.
Oh, wait. He set her up for failure. A terrible marriage.
And next week we get Valerian.
One that apparently, because of some loopholes in terms of how the film was made, literally cannot fail.
What?
I mean, it can fail.
No, it can't.
It could be terrible.
But it's not going to lose money.
How? It looks like just like they spent so much on CG.
I know, but with all the grants, and there are articles about this, and I have not read any of them.
Taking advantage of the Parisian franc system of artfulness.
No, pretty much.
Good.
It is a $182 million movie that cannot lose money.
Yes.
It is what happened if Uwe Boll was a decent filmmaker. As well as a very clever businessman.
Here's my problem with Valeria, or Valerian, or whatever the fuck it's called. Whatever Valerian route that puts you to sleep. Fifth Element is a great movie.
Yeah.
Because it uses CG, but also has lots of cool like puppets and things, like practical effects.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is just 100% CG with two male characters, or sorry, two human characters, the actual
actors.
Well,
back when Fifth Element was made, you could do stuff with puppets that
you
was a lot more difficult to do with CG, and now we've advanced enough that a lot of times you can't tell.
And I'm going to point out, Brandon, that we just got done talking about the absolute glory that was War for the Planet of the Apes.
And in 2 years, it's going to look like crap.
Will it?
But if you go back and watch Fifth Element minus the CG elements, the puppets and the like aliens look fucking fantastic.
Jurassic Park holds up, including the CG. And that was done in
the mid-90s. I don't know how. That's weird.
It's not the level of technology, it's how you use it. And if they do it well.
Well, I guess the lighting is the biggest part.
If they do it well, it'll look just fine.
I don't know.
And they might do it well.
We'll have this conversation in 10 years if we haven't been nuked yet.
I mean, it's Luc Besson. He's going to make a movie that's got a lot of weird-looking CG, and it's not necessarily going to look the most realistic because it's not supposed to. It's supposed to look kind of campy, and you're going to watch it, and you're going to love it because it's Luc Besson.
All right. I just think, like, puppets and Muppets and things are just
way
cooler.
And I agree. And, you know, Rian Johnson, director of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Could you imagine Dark Crystal or Labyrinth remade only CG, which is better? I mean, obviously, the CG one.
There's still a great argument for practical effects, and I was at the press junket for Valerian at last year's Comic-Con, and the actors were saying how weird it was to be, you know, acting against nothing.
The Force Awakens.
That was a red flag for me. It discouraged me.
The Force Awakens, tons of practical effects.
And even more in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So at this point,
we're going like back on CG now.
We'll see.
But I'm just worried because of like, it's just nothing but CG. I'm not going to feel anything.
You might not.
In my loins.
I mean, K2SO was basically 100% CG, wasn't he?
No. Yeah. Alan Tudyk was on set the whole time.
I know, but they replaced him with CG.
Guys, I don't know what a K2SO is.
He was
from Rogue One.
They did the same thing with him in iRobot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, but the point is that there's a performance there, and from what I was told and from the pictures I've seen, there wasn't necessarily a performance on the set with the human actors. Valerian.
My admittedly, Luc Besson's track record is not the best for me right now. I still love a lot of the movies.
Lucy's great.
I have such a problem with them using Lucy's based on a flawed premise and a widely known flawed premise at this point that, you know, we don't only use 10% of our brains.
We use far less. Yeah, zero. Got it.
That's been debunked for years now, but that was the big part of it. And it's just like, they're like, from the visionary mind that brought you Lucy. It's like, why? Why are you using that as a selling point?
Yeah, why would you? Yeah, that is weird. Is that what they're using to sell the trailer of the movie?
Yes.
Ew. Why would they do that?
They jump from
Fifth Element.
No, they do. They use Fifth Element. Subway?
Yeah, it's a movie he made. It's $5 foot long.
No.
It's an amazing
film starring Christopher Lambert. Everyone should see it.
Oh, of course, Christopher Lambert.
Besson's old movies are amazing. The professional. Leon the professional. They should say from the genius that brought you Leon the professional.
They do. They use the professional, Fifth Element, and Lucy.
Yeah, it's so weird.
They leave like the transporter out, but go to... I don't get it.
Wait, did he make the transporter?
He wrote it.
He did.
Weird. Jason Statham?
Luc Besson has written far more films than
he's
directed.
Did he write those abs?
He did, actually.
That amazing Jet Li, Bob Hoskins film, Unleashed, he wrote that.
Oh, that's a great movie.
That was really good.
That's like the sequel to the Mario Brothers
Danny
movie.
The Dog.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
Danny the Dog in other countries, yeah.
That's actually a good movie.
They locked John Leguizamo in a closet for a little while, and he came out as Jet Li.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you get a Jet Li.
Yeah.
That's how you force the evolution.
Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, Pokemon, got it.
Yeah, you put him in there with a moonstone, you wait, dun, dun, dun,
I was thinking something completely different. What were we talking about again?
Castlevania.
Yes, one more thing. One last thing. So much to talk about. Castlevania came out on Netflix. Much to our surprise, it was only 4 episodes long.
And those episodes were only 25 minutes apiece.
But written by Warren Ellis, animated in a... What style of anime is that?
I thought it was like an American studio, but I was maybe wrong.
Well, a style not too dissimilar from, say, a Vampire Hunter D, perhaps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. close to.
And then Adi Shankar, the dude behind Dredd, the live-action Judge Dredd movie that didn't suck, at the helm. This show was magnificent.
Yeah, it was really bloody. The characters swore a lot. Like it was...
straight violence and disturbing amounts
of conversation about fucking goats. That was great.
If you've ever read a Warren Ellis comic, like he's one of the greats of edgy pulp comic book writing, like Transmetropolitan, Planetary, Dr. Sleepless.
And he did the G.I. Joe animated series, the limited series, right?
Yeah, he did.
So it reminded me a lot of that. It's based off of this Castlevania series is based off of Castlevania 3,
which is the earliest in the timeline, I think.
Yes, featuring Trevor Belmont and a witch lady and Alucard, who goes on to become a main character, who becomes the main protagonist by the time you get to Symphony of the Night,
and then also some kind of thief man who turns into a monster and then gets turned back and joins your party. But he wasn't in the show yet.
Yet it has been confirmed for a second season. I really hope that we get more than 4 episodes this time. I feel like they were kind of hedging their bets, but
that was legitimately the season. Like I thought that it was just, they released 4 episodes and then they're going to give us some more a little bit later.
That was it. But think about how quickly they produced those between when they announced this and when it actually came out.
That's true. It didn't take too long. I really hope they just keep cranking them out. Cause wow. That was really good.
This is based on... I think it's based on the third game. I was looking things up about Castlevania.
Oh, God.
Well...
The discussion literally was just based on the... Okay.
I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to lie about it. I was looking something up, and I wasn't paying attention.
It was a fantastic 4
episodes.
It's based
on the second game. A Super Castlevania would have been great. Sorry.
The
fired
like sterling adaptation of Super Ghouls and Ghosts every step of the way, right down to the polka dots on the briefs. Amazing.
I didn't think they were going to be able to pull it off, but they did. They did. I was really impressed.
Did you? I think they based it on the third game.
Nah, the first episode was actually kind of surprising because it does not.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't like the Belmont. Trevor doesn't show up until the last 2 minutes of the episode.
It's just about Dracula.
It's just Dracula.
And you know what? There it's not my opinion, but there were opinions online, and I've read many that a lot of people, once we got past the first episode, it was okay. And I see a lot of that on my feed, and I'm just like, I don't understand, because people, I guess the first episode is slightly different from the rest because Dracula's the main character, and like, oh, Dracula's trying to be a decent guy now. And I love that Dracula has like all the modern technology. He's trying not to be a dick and murder people, and you kind of root for him, actually.
Yeah, I mean, for a while I was like, this is great. Go Dracula.
Yeah.
And then And then your opinion shifts a little bit later.
No, I still said go Dracula. He has every right to be a dick.
Yeah, I'm still kind of go Dracula. Yeah.
He's a sympathetic villain, and he looks fucking fantastic. Oh, when he showed up in the fire as an animation nut, that was just fucking gorgeous to look at.
I will say that you can continue to sympathize with where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so important. When do you get that? Very seldom is the answer to my rhetorical question.
So I am kind of, I can't wait to see what happens when all the main characters meet and, you know, how that situation is going to go down. Who's right, who's wrong.
And it's nice seeing the actor who played Thorin in the Hobbit films play somebody I can actually root for and get behind as opposed to in a terrible Hobbit film.
Yep.
And when I was watching this, like, I was alone, but I was talking to my screen. I was like, hell yeah. You know, like, it provokes reactions from you because you're just like, you don't expect this show to be doing what it's doing. Mm-mm. It's constantly surprising you.
The fight in episode 3 was fucking gorgeous. You guys, and I mean, the animation looks great.
I think all the fight scenes are pretty gorgeous.
Well, they're okay. Like the fight scene in the bar in episode 2 is decent, right. But it's not.
You can tell where they spent their money.
Oh yeah. Oh Jesus
and
Christ.
And that's one of my biggest problems with anime in general is that it's so cheap. Like,
there's like one scene like in the whole season that's like really
the frame rate sucks, and you'll see these characters against these like pretty well rendered backgrounds. You'd be like, this looks sloppy. Come on, move your mouth a little bit more. Come on.
But those lip flaps cost money, Cap.
But when they do it. Oh, they do it. And I hope Netflix, I hope everyone's watching the show. I hope Netflix is, you know, seeing this. Of course they're seeing it. They're watching it very intently. But I hope that the nerd populace is doing their due diligence and watching this Castlevania show, whether or not you have any relationship with Castlevania.
Yeah, you don't really need to know anything about Castlevania.
No.
I mean, I have had an interest and an appreciation for Castlevania, but it wasn't an intrinsic part of my childhood. I didn't discover Symphony of the Night until I was significantly older.
It world builds on its own. You don't need to have played anything or have ever heard of it before, because I don't remember about any of the games, and I still enjoy it.
Do you want to watch a cool gothic horror show that's simultaneously very dramatic and also fucking hilarious?
Yeah.
Yes.
If the answer is yes.
I don't like things that are good.
Get out! Well,
And it really, you can
did
watch...
you step on me? I did a bit.
You can watch the whole season in like an hour.
2 hours.
Hour and
it is.
It's only 4 episodes of 20 minutes.
25. 25 minutes apiece.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's
roughly a half an hour.
2 hours.
Yeah.
A little less than 2 hours, you can watch the full season.
Yeah, sit down and watch Castlevania, the movie.
The movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Straight to Netflix.
You will not regret it.
I'm almost surprised they didn't actually just release it as a movie as opposed to 4 episodes.
Yeah,
they would have actually worked as just one.
But now they can just keep releasing it as seasons.
Yeah. But the breaks in the episodes even were unnecessary. And how many times as kids did we watch like animated shows come out with like Gargoyles, the movie, and it's the first 5 episodes.
Yeah,
and then the rest of it's a
series.
I'm
going to go ahead and try not to give a shit.
I'm just saying. Yeah, it's
as long as it's quality and as long as they don't overextend themselves, because they stretch their budget thin enough for 4 episodes. That's fine. If you know, maybe Adi Shankar's like a really good producer, and he was like, this is how much we're getting? All right, we're making 4 episodes, and they're going to be 4 great episodes. And we're still going to have to stretch ourselves a little thin at times, but it's going to be worth it.
Just wait till they get to episode 3. You guys, it's going to pay off.
Good job, you guys. You did a great job. You worked with what you had. I think that's probably how it went down. And maybe we'll get an extra 2 episodes next season.
Oh, yeah.
I think next season is going to start with the drawbridge coming down and then them crossing.
And
it.
Don't forget the creepy music.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I also enjoyed the platforming section in the second episode.
Yes, there was platforming in it. It was so cool.
I'm still upset there's no floating Medusa heads knocking them off of
it.
Oh, I mean, he hasn't gotten to the castle yet, so we'll see. Spoiler, sorry.
Taking us out is a track about Planet of the Apes. This is the complete and unabridged Planet of the Apes by the band H2 Awesome. And I will say this. This song, much like these films, is so much better than it has a right to be. You think, oh, like it sounds like a funny song about this film series. Sure, why not? It's a really good song about this film series. I might listen to this song just for pleasure, not just for laughs, like for like actual enjoyment as a song. It's charming and it's funny. And maybe this will help to inform you as to both what's come before in the Planet of the Apes film series and perhaps some semblance, though very different, of what may come after the war for the Planet of the Apes.
Ook, ook, motherfuckers.
Right. Okay. You can hear this and many, many, many more awesome tracks at nerdy.fm, our nerd music streaming station. Here is the complete and unabridged Planet of the Apes by H2 Awesome.
Tony, that was apesist.
Charlton Heston, magnificent in youth, climbs aboard a starship to seek out the cosmic truth. Awakening in space, he's the last of the human race. Come with me now to the planet of the apes. Charlton Heston, cynic amongst his crewmen, became an astronaut to get away from humans. And so it came to be the dreaded irony. He gets his wish on the planet of the apes. 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 Come with me, I'll take you to the land of apes. Climb aboard a starship, I'll take you to the land of the planet of the apes. The planet of the apes. The planet of the apes.
A teen ape wasteland.